I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Paul said, "I am thankful." And we are thankful to God for this particular thing. The reason is because when you heard the word of God, you did not hear it and you did not accept it as if it was just the word of men. You accepted the word of God as what it was, the word of Almighty God. You didn't look at the gospel message as just being some kind of human, man-made message. You looked at the word of God for what it truly is, and that is the inspired message of God Almighty. Well, when we look at the Bible as Christian people, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. We do not believe that men, writing on their own, mere men, wrote the Bible. How do we know that God wrote the Bible? How do we know that the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write the Bible? Well, that's what we've been looking at in these series of lessons. We've been looking at things like scientific foreknowledge in the Bible. The fact that there were Bible writers who knew things about science and medicine far in advance of their time. And the only way to explain how these men could know what they did is to say that they were guided by a source above them, and that is by God Almighty. There's no way that they could have looked into the future and have guessed about it. We also looked at the fact that the Bible has remarkable unity. It is a book of 66 different books, written by about 40 different writers over a period of about 1,600 years, and yet when all those writings are compiled, we have such remarkable unity that there's only one explanation. And that is, although there were different human writers, there's only one author, and that author is God Almighty. We also have been spending quite a bit of time looking at Bible prophecy, which is, as many believe, the strongest evidence, the strongest proof of the Bible's inspiration. We find in the Scriptures many predictions of the future, which are not guesses, which did not come to pass by mere coincidence, but were actually examples of God foretelling the future through these men. So when you look at all of these prophecies that are fulfilled in the Bible, especially prophecies about Jesus Christ, there's no question, folks, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, what I want to do in this lesson is to look at other evidences or other marks of the Bible's inspiration. And what you're going to find when you hear lists or you read lists of Bible proofs, that is, evidences for the inspiration of the Bible, you're going to look at some of them and say, well, I can see how that absolutely proves it. Then you're going to look at others and say, well, that proof is not quite as strong as the other proof is. And then you're going to look at others and say, well, I don't know that would prove it in and of itself, but when you put all of them together with it, then it looks like that is either a point or two, a sign of, at least it's somewhat of a mark of divine inspiration. So in our list so far of proofs or evidences of the inspiration of the Bible, we would say number one, prophecy. Number two, the scientific foreknowledge of the Bible. Number three, the great unity of the Bible. And we'll add some of these other ones in this lesson. For instance, the moral standard and influence of the Bible. How could men write a book like this? Think about the influence that the Bible has had throughout the world for thousands of years. Look at the influence that it's had in societies, in cultures, upon families, upon individuals' lives. Look at the lives that have been changed by the teaching of the Bible. Look at the purity of this teaching. What man or what group of men have ever come up with a moral, ethical code and a set of teaching about morals like the Bible? There is nothing, as far as human teaching and human wisdom is concerned, that in any sense compares to the Bible. The Bible is so far above the morals of men and the ethical writings of men that there's no comparison. So that is, in a sense, a pointer to its divine origin. Here's something else to think about that's related to this. And this is an argument that has been made for a long time. It's a good argument, an argument made in behalf of and for the Bible. Think of it in this way. When we think about the writers of the Bible, what kind of men were they? Well, this particular line of reasoning says this. These men who wrote the Bible were not bad men. The reason is, bad men don't write things that absolutely condemn them at every turn. Bad men are not going to write a book that is as lofty and as high as the Bible. Bad men don't talk about subjects like the Bible talks about. And I mean by that, that the Bible has such pure teaching. The Bible tells us to speak good words. The Bible tells us to have pure thoughts. You see, if bad men wrote the Bible, why would they be concerned about their thinking? Why would they write a book that condemned their bad thoughts? You see, that's just not in the character of bad men. So we wouldn't say that bad men wrote the Bible. They're not really capable of, and it doesn't really fit their character to write a book like this. Somebody says, well, maybe the people that wrote the Bible were good men that just told lies about it. Well, think about what they've just said. Good men telling lies? Folks, good men don't lie. If good men wrote the Bible, they wouldn't be lying about saying that the Bible is really the Word of God. You see, the expression, thus saith the Lord, is found many, many times in the Bible. These Bible writers said that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. These Bible writers said that all these miracles occurred. These Bible writers said that Jesus rose from the dead and that He's coming again someday. Now, if they made all that up, then they were lying. And if they were lying, they were not good men. So we can't go down that road. We cannot accept that alternative. So somebody said, well, maybe they were just insane. Maybe they were crazy. Maybe they were just beside themselves and their imagination got away from them and they started making up all these things. Well, that's impossible too. That couldn't have happened because the Bible fits together too well. The Bible is too harmonious. The Bible is too logical. The Bible is too historical in the sections that are there. No, crazy men could not have written a book like this. So, looking at these alternatives, think of it in this way. Bad men didn't write the Bible. Good men, apart from the Spirit of God, that is, didn't write the Bible. Crazy men could not have written the Bible. They're not able. As someone said, bad men would not want to write the Bible. Good men would not write a book and lie about these things. And crazy men are not capable of writing a book like this. So that means that human beings, mere men, did not and could not write the Bible. The only other alternative is that it came from God Almighty. Here's another point or two. At least this is fitting with the character of God and not the character of men, as God wrote the Bible and not men. And that is that the Bible does not cover up the sins of the greatest people in it. The Bible talks about Abraham. The Bible talks about David. The Bible talks about Peter. But it records the mistakes that these men made. And it even tells us what David did in regard to Bathsheba. It tells us what Peter did in denying his Lord. Now, you see, that is not characteristic of the way that men write about their heroes. When men write about people that they admire and adore, they're prone to leave out those embarrassing chapters in those men's lives, but not the Bible. You find a remarkable honesty in the way that God presents these things. Here's something else. The Bible does not attempt to satisfy human curiosity. Now, men do. I suppose that we are, in a sense, curious by nature, and so we want to find out things that really can't be explained or that we really can't find out, but that doesn't keep some people from trying. Now, the Bible never does go into that. We have all kinds of questions, for instance, about what happened to Jesus on certain occasions. What happened to Jesus and what did he do between the ages of 12 and 30? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us. And the Bible does not explain to us many things that we might have questions about. It doesn't cater to our curiosity. Now, that's not what human books do. That is not what books that men write do. Men try to satisfy that curiosity so that people will buy the book and so that people will read the book. Here's something else. The Bible has an unparalleled tactfulness, an unmatched dignity in relating sensitive material. Now, what am I talking about? Well, by that I mean that the Bible talks about some of the most intimate, private, and potentially embarrassing subjects. But it does that in such a way that you don't read it and feel like that you're dirty. You don't feel embarrassed. You don't feel ashamed about it. The Bible can talk about some of the most vile sins, some of the most degrading practices, and some of the most private moments in human life, especially, let's say, in a marital situation. But it does that in a way that it does not use any kind of dirty talk or any kind of crude language or anything that would be offensive to an honest person. Now, that kind of tact, that kind of dignity is befitting of God as the author. Next, the Bible is very brief. Now, that is highly uncharacteristic of human books on history. Look at how many books have been written about the past. Look at how much history has been recorded and how many things have been said about events of the past. We have so much that is out there that has been put into print. As Solomon once said, of making many books, there is no end. There's just no end, it seems, to how many things have been written. The Bible shows the entire history of man. It compresses that. It condenses that down into this one volume that you have. In other words, when you look at men trying to describe and trying to relate what happened over the course of even 100 years, they will write thousands and thousands of pages. And yet, God describes, God relates to us what has happened from the very beginning of the creation to the very end of time, and He does that in the short book that we have. Now, that is something that human beings just don't have the tendency to do. Next, we also find that secular writers confirm many of the people, many of the places, many of the events in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that the proof of the Bible depends on those outside sources, but I am saying that those outside sources certainly don't weaken the case for the Bible. If anything, they do make it stronger. So, what you find is that in the first century, for instance, you have different writers who confirm what happened to Jesus Christ. We've mentioned those. Josephus, a Jewish writer, tells us that Jesus was crucified by Pontius Pilate. Tacitus, a Roman historian in the first century, tells us the same. And there are many other records of that nature. We also find that there's archaeology that has verified numerous details of Bible history. You can find various sources, Bible encyclopedias, Bible dictionaries, that talk about the relics, the stones, the objects that have been found, which relate exactly what we find in the Bible. Again, the Bible's inspiration does not depend on those outside proofs, but it certainly isn't weakened by it, and I believe that it adds a very fascinating aspect to the evidence that we have. And as we close this series of lessons on how we know the Bible is the inspired Word of God, I want to repeat that we have only scratched the surface. We have only looked at a small amount of all the evidence which proves the Bible's inspiration. But we have looked at enough, and I hope that this has helped you to believe more and understand better what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.